Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 28, verse 19. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 19. Now, in this proverb, we're going to be encouraged to work. Let's read it. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. The clear teaching of this passage is evident. You've got to work in order to eat. And that's what Paul said. And that's what your dad taught you. Or that's what your dad should have taught you if he didn't. You have to work in order to have plenty of bread. That's all there is. That's all there is to it. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. But he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. Why? He won't work. Now, what we need to do is we need to go through and we need to look at the very practical application of this verse. We need to go to the New Testament, see what the Bible says about working. And then from that, we can make a spiritual application about work. And then we can draw an interesting parallel from this particular verse of Scripture about something that has changed drastically since the day that Solomon wrote this verse of Scripture. So we're going to look, first of all, at the very practical application of this verse, he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, and what it means for you and I, or for you and me, as far as our ordinary daily work. All right? So for first of all, what we'll do is we'll turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and look at verse 10. Paul is very bold in speaking to the Thessalonians about the need for a man to work. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. The Bible is very plain. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Paul didn't want any freeloaders in his day. Paul didn't want any freeloaders around that church. He wanted people working. And he commanded them. And God recorded what he commanded in Scripture. So it becomes the command of God. If you're not working, then you're not to eat. You see, the Bible tells us in Proverbs that a man works because his mouth craveth it of him. Okay? And so that is, when he gets hungry, he's going to go find a way to get some food. And what he'll do is he'll go to work. Now, what's happened is that with the change in society, the change in the government, and so forth, we have accomplished essentially a very bad thing in our country. And that is that we have a lot of people that eat that don't work. And they're not going to work because they can keep their mouth satisfied with food. And as long as they can do that without having to work, they won't work. Paul said that's not a good thing. It is not good to have people, particularly in a church, able to satisfy their daily necessities in food without working. Now, there was an exception for that. Widows were an exception. And so they were taken care of in Acts chapter 6. And Paul also laid down some instructions in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and even there he was very, very cautious about who should get the help and who shouldn't. But nonetheless, we find that it's not just an Old Testament doctrine that a man would till his ground and therefore have plenty of bread. In the New Testament, a man to eat would have to work. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 is the verse we read. Now look at verse 12. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. So I don't know what the situation is in your household. I don't know if you have a freeloader around there. But if you do, you're not doing him or her any favors by keeping them around on your nickel when they ought to be out working. I was talking to a lady the other day, and family member or relative, close relative of one of theirs, had fallen on some hard times, and she wasn't able to work. And so they were helping her out, buying groceries. And this thing had gone on longer than this lady thought that it should have gone on. And really, she didn't know what to do about it. And I told her, I said, you know, if you want to let the lady go back to work, the thing to do is to quit buying her groceries. Because as long as you're going to pay the bill, she's happy to live off of that. Evidently, it doesn't look like she's trying to get a job. You know, but the fear is that if you cut them off, they're going to starve. Well, more than likely, if they just haven't had the incentive to go out and get some work, they're not going to starve. What they'll do is they'll get up off of their rear end and they'll go looking for a job. That's what Paul said. With quietness they work and eat their own bread. So you're not doing a freeloader any favors. Now, I realize you may have somebody with a medical condition that can't work. Somebody that's an elderly parent, and now you're requiting them good for the things they've done for you. I'm not talking about that. Neither was Paul. He was talking about able-bodied people that won't work. You know, there are some people that have gotten on disability, and I mean, they rightfully are because they had a serious enough injury where they need to be taken care of. But, you know, the sad thing is they're doing odd jobs on the side, but they're not reporting all of that. And the thing is, what they're demonstrating is that they do actually have the physical capability to work, but that nice check coming in every month, it makes it very difficult for them to want to get back up and go do what their body is capable of doing. And that's a tough situation, man. That's a tough situation because somebody's having to foot that bill. Now, again, please understand, there are cases where people have disability and they need it. That there's no other way they can sustain themselves. But there are other cases where I saw a guy one day and he actually did have the disability, but he never got the claim. That guy was working to put food on his table and he was going to continue to do it. So, you know, it's not always a very fair thing, and I understand that. But the point is, not so we get sidetracked on the exceptions. The point is, if you are able and you're not working, then you are disobeying God's command. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, Paul said the same, or 1 Thessalonians, excuse me, chapter 4, verse 11, Paul said the same thing to the Thessalonians in the first letter that he wrote them as he did in the second letter. He said in 1 Thessalonians 4:11 that you studied to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Now he says the benefit of doing this is found in Ephesians chapter 4. He said, you know, not only are you supposed to work so that you can feed your face and take care of your family, but you should be able to work and get up enough money to be able not only to take care of the necessities of your family, but that you may have to give to him that needeth. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Look at that. He's not only working with his own hands to take care of his family's needs, but he's working with his own hands so that he may have to give to him that needeth, where there's a real need. Isn't that an interesting thing? Paul said, not only do I not want freeloaders in the churches, but he said, if you are used to stealing in the past, now I want you working. And when you work, I don't want you just taking care of your own face and your own needs and your own family. I want you to be able to have enough money to give to somebody else that has a need. Now, Paul was very good about practicing what he preached. All right, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 8 through 9, look what he says. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. So what's Paul saying? He says, look, all this time that we're spending ministering in your midst, we had the right to eat of the gospel. We had the right to look to you to take care of our carnal needs while we were with you. But he said, we wouldn't do it. We wanted to give you an example. So what we decided to do is we went to work We paid our bills with our own hands so that we wouldn't be chargeable to any of you, and that way you could look to us and say, look, these guys are not only laboring among us in the ministry trying to lead our souls to Jesus Christ and trying to build us up in the faith, but they are working with their own hands in order to pay their own bills so that they have enough money to eat, and they're not looking to us to feed them. Then what does that tell you? That tells you that we ought to be out working with our own hands so that we can feed ourselves. It was an example. And he gave them a very stern warning in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Now the warning is in the midst of his instructions on how to deal with widows, and I understand that. But the warning stands on its own, in or out of the context. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Well, an infidel is an unbeliever. An infidel is a person that doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that doesn't believe in the Bible, that doesn't believe God. And he says, you know what? Those people don't know how to trust God. An infidel doesn't. And he says, but I'm going to tell you something that's worse than that, is a guy that will not take care of his own, especially those of his own house. A man like that is denied the faith. He's worse than an infidel. Then that would indicate that God is favorable toward a man working in order to pay his own bills. And if you're not working to pay your own bills, according to the Bible, you're worse than an infidel. You need to work. Now, around our area, that is in Corpus Christi, there are a number of people who, through drugs and other types of problems, have messed their lives up. But they have learned, and I mean they are clever, they have learned how to milk people for money. And they found ways to get to churches and various ministries in town and basically freeload. And, you know, it's a sad situation because they're physically capable, but what's happened is they've destroyed themselves through drugs and alcohol. And now they're hooked, and they can't hold down a job. They won't hold down a job. And so the Bible says when a man gets in a situation like that and he doesn't take care of himself, he's worse than an infidel. You need to go to work. You say, I know, but I've got a real problem with my drug habit or whatever. Then quit the drugs and quit the alcohol and go to work. You say, yeah, but that's hard to do. You know something? The other day I was at the restaurant and I gave the waiter a tract when I paid the bill. And he came back to me and gave me the tract. And he said, I appreciate this, but I don't need it. These things cost money and I want you to be able to give that to somebody who needs it. I'm already a Christian. As a matter of fact, he said, my ministry is to street people because that's where I came from. He said, I ruined my life in the music world with drugs and alcohol and sex until I destroyed myself. But now I'm saved and I'm living for the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm working. Now I go back into the same area that I came out of and I am trying to help those people get off of the things that have them in bondage, the sins that have them in bondage, and help them get back on their feet. And the guy's working. He's paying his own bills and then he's supporting himself in the ministry. Now that's admirable and that tells you it can be done. When a man trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, he can get off the dope, he can get off the alcohol, and he can go to work, and he can pay his own bills. When I went off to school to train for the ministry, there were a number of guys there whose lives had been wrecked by sin before. They were working during the daytime so that they could eat, putting themselves through school at nighttime, and they are now in the full-time ministry today. So don't tell me it can't be done. Not with that many commands in the Bible that tell you you need to do it, and not with this stern warning that says you're worse than an infidel if you don't work. You know, when the Lord taught his disciples, oftentimes he taught them by parables. Look, I'm just going to give you a few examples, but look how many times the Lord taught by parable, and that the parable he used was a parable of labor. For instance, in Matthew chapter 20, when he wants to teach about the kingdom of heaven, he says it's like a householder that went out and began to hire laborers for his vineyard. And he hired some at 6 o'clock in the morning, some at 9 o'clock in the morning, some at noon, some at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, some at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and worked a 12-hour day. You say that's remarkable. Yes, it is. But he used that, and the folks that he was witnessed to understood the long day of work that was required in the vineyard. All right? In Luke chapter 17, he goes through and the disciple said, increase our faith. And so he said, all right, I'll talk to you about that. He says, how many of you having a servant? And then he goes on to describes this man that has a servant that's out there working in the field, comes in after working in the field, and then begins to cook the meal for the man that he works for and takes care of the man that he works for first. And after everything is done in the field and everything's taken care of for the animals and everything's taken care of for his master, then he sits down to his own plate. And he says, there's a working man. Man, that guy's working all day long. And then he sits down, see, at the end, when everything else is taken care of, takes care of feeding himself, goes to bed, gets up, and does it all over again the next day. You say, yeah, that's a rat race. That is the example the Lord used to show that we are unprofitable servants. We have only done that which was our duty to do. All right, in Matthew chapter 13, he wants to give you a parable concerning the kingdom of heaven. It's a parable about a sower sowing seed. That's work. That's labor. That's a man that's putting something in the ground that has a hope of getting something out of the ground after it grows, a tiller of the ground. There's a fisherman casting a net, giving you another example of the kingdom of heaven. That man is laboring. He's catching those fish to sell in the market, to feed other people so that he can make a living as well, and also feed himself from the fish that he catches. In Luke chapter 19, there's a parable of the pounds. In Matthew chapter 25, a parable of the talents. And in both cases, the man that didn't work, that hid his pound in the napkin or his talent in the earth, the Lord said when he was dealing with that man that he was a wicked servant. Why? Because he would not work with the pound or with the talent he was given. He just let it lie. And the Lord said, you are a wicked servant for not doing that work. So listen, there are abundant parables in the Bible concerning work and abundant commands of Paul the Apostle for Christians concerning work. And a man that is a Christian, barring ill health, like a severe disability, barring ill health, like some sort of a disorder that prevents him from doing work, a debilitating disease, a terminal illness, something like that, that man ought to be working. He ought to be working. And you know something? I've watched Christians, and Christians make the best hands in the world. They work together well. They're cooperative. They obey the people that they work for. And when a man who professes to be a Christian is not that kind of laborer, and he's not that kind to take care of his own family, he's worse than an infidel, and he is a reproach to the name of Christ. He ought to be a good hand. He ought to be the very best employee that any company has on the payroll. He ought to start earlier, stay later, work harder, produce more, do everything to the glory of God, and never need supervision except only to learn the job. After that, he ought to be able to work because he's under the supervision of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of that according to the Bible. We ought to be in Christianity the very best. We ought to be in high demand with our faith in Jesus Christ, our eyes on the Lord God, our desire to glorify God. We ought to be the very best at everything that we do. Now, what's the spiritual application? That's the practical application. That's how to be a better employee for whomever you work. But the spiritual application is very simple. After we're saved, we're judged on our works. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15, here's a Christian that stands before God, and his works are tried to see whether they are gold and silver and precious stones, or whether they are wood, hay, and stubble, whether they were done in accordance with God's will, or whether they were done in accordance with the man's will, whether they pass the judgment and earn him an eternal reward, or whether they fail at the judgment and he suffers a loss. You know, we need to be busy for the Lord Jesus Christ as Christians after we get saved, doing the will of God from the heart, working. When you read the book of Titus, you know, we've been a lot in Timothy and Thessalonians, now Titus, all these epistles that are written back here in the epistles of Paul. In Titus, you can read in chapter 2, verse 7, in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, in Titus chapter 3, verse 1, in Titus chapter 3, verse 8, Titus chapter 3, verse 14, over and over again, an exhortation that you and I are to be a peculiar people, zealous of good works, that we need to be working for the Lord Jesus Christ and showing ourselves a pattern of good works, ready to do every good work, the Bible says. Be careful to maintain good works, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses. We ought to be a working people for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing to me how many people work for the devil to make a lot of money, or work for the world to make a lot of money, show up to church and spend an hour there saying that they've performed their Christian duty. They'll never open their mouths for the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll never do anything for missions. They'll never spend the length of time necessary each day in prayer to support the work of the ministry in their local church. They don't do anything for Christ. They work for themselves. They work for the world. They work for the devil. Put a little money in the plate. Show up to warm a seat in the pew and then don't do the work. Well, then they're very much like this proverb. They're not tilling in the land. They'll not have plenty of bread. But he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough, and they are spiritually poor. And that's why the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 3 that the Laodicean church is a miserable, poor, wretched, blind, and naked church because it has a lot of money. And there are a lot of people that show up with a lot of money. But otherwise, spiritually, absolutely spiritually bankrupt. You know what the Bible tells us? Jesus said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Are you laboring in the harvest of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you open your mouth to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ that they might be saved? Do you labor in the work of your local church, doing those things that are beneficial in the ministry to either edify and strengthen saints or bring more people in that can hear the gospel preached so that they might be saved? What a terrible thing to have a huge net worth financially and be rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and yet be totally and absolutely spiritually bankrupt because you haven't tilled your spiritual ground. And then you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked in the eyes of the Lord, lukewarm, not zealous of good works, not repentant toward the Lord God. It's a terrible situation that we find ourselves in Christianity today, where they're good laborers, Christians, good laborers in the field for the world to make the money, to buy the car, to build the house, but then not good laborers for the Lord. You need to be both. The very best that you possibly can be on the job and the very best that you possibly can be for the Lord God. In balance. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough, spiritually bankrupt. There are hundreds of thousands of spiritually bankrupt Christians today because they don't know how to work for the Lord. They won't throw their hat in the ring. They don't pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest because they're afraid that the Lord might send them and they don't want to go. Don't be like that. Now, here's the interesting parallel. We've seen the very practical application. You need to be a good worker. You need to work. You need to pay your own bills. You need to feed your family. Spiritual application, you need to work for the Lord. You'll be judged on that when you get to the judgment seat of Christ. But here's the interesting parallel. The verse here in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 19 says, "He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough." Do you know something? That's not so true today. That verse is flipped. We had a missionary that came in from Moldova, a communist country in Europe. Moldova is an agrarian economy. 40 maybe plus percent of the economy is rural agriculture. And yet, you know, the soil has been leached out and the soil is shot and there's other kinds of problems. Moldova, as a result, is very well the poorest country in Europe as a result. And there are lots of people that till the land, and they don't have plenty of bread. As a matter of fact, the average income is about $80 a month, which is high compared to a lot of other economies that we've seen. But over there in Europe, it's low. It's terrible. They're tilling their land, they're eating, but they don't have plenty. they're very impoverished. As a matter of fact, 2.5 million people in the workforce, I think that's the number, leave that country and leave their families to go get work elsewhere, immigrate to other countries where they can get work across the border and try to send some money home. It's a terrible situation they're in there. And yet the people that have that are vain, that are following after vain persons, they're not the ones that are impoverished these days. I mean, in the United States, farmers are having a hard time paying the bills, and lots of farmers have gone out of business, and the farms have been consolidated. Here, the Hollywood actors and the sports stars, that's vanity. All that is just somebody getting up there pretending to be somebody else or somebody that's good athletically getting paid a tremendous amount of money to entertain you. Or people that are in investments, all they're doing is just sticking the money and letting the economy take care of itself as it expands and inflates and trades, and they make money like that. They're not actually, none of these, and I've just named three, there are many just like this, they're not doing anything to produce anything that feeds people. They're simply making money off of an economy that is based on financial transactions and off of entertaining people. That's vanity. And the Bible says a person that does that will have poverty enough. Well, by far, this is absolutely contradictory. They're not the poor ones. They are the rich ones these days. And the man that's tilling his ground, he's barely getting two nickels to rub together. It's flipped from what Solomon says. It's just like, I'll tell you what, it's just like what happened in Psalm 37, verse 25. David said in Psalm 37, verse 25, this thing right here. And it was flipped by the time we got to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Well, I want to tell you something. Lazarus, a righteous man who died and went to Abraham's bosom, was begging bread at a man's gate when Jesus Christ arrived the first time. You know what I'm telling you? I'm telling you that what Solomon said in Proverbs 28:19 is flipped today, telling us, just like Psalm 37, verse 25 was flipped, that we're getting very close to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because what Solomon says is not true anymore. It's flipped. We must be getting very close to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like we got very close to the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when Lazarus was begging bread. We're expecting the Lord's return any day now, and Lord willing, it'll be soon. Well, there you go, Christian. Go to work and be the best at it that you can.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.